want you to know that Jesus is here, and he's here all the time. And so today we're going to look at Jesus is the beloved or beloved. Let's talk about that for a second. Who says beloved? You see that word, and it's beloved. Who says beloved? Who doesn't say anything, apparently? Cool. You guys are like, I don't know, it's tomato, tomato. All right, true, but who says tomato? That's a probably more important question. Do you? What's up, UK? I see you. All right. The Scots are in the house. Beloved, you have a grasp of the English language that we don't. I say beloved, but I don't say aged. I say aged. It's just something I've been wondering about, and this is why I have undiagnosed ADHD. All right, here we go. Jesus is the beloved or beloved son and the perfect example. Let's take a look at how all that looks. Luke 3, 21 through 22, we just read it. I'm not going to spend really much time on that. I want to ask you guys to consider this, though, who he is and what he's done. So he's the beloved son or beloved son, and he is the perfect example. So if you don't have Bibles, we have some for you. They're yours. We love you. We want you to take it, read it, and more importantly, live it out. You will have it up on the screen. Is that working? We're good? Cool. It's page 858 for some of you in the Black Bibles. Some of you have it on your phone. And as was said last week, I don't know what number that is, but you guys got it. Here we go. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you, I'm well pleased. This is the Trinity. I'll talk more about that coming up, but how beautiful. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all together, right there. They've always been together, and they always will be. So, question I have for you, and I talked about it, and I want you to think through it. Why did Jesus get baptized? Out of obedience. Good. What else? To be the example. Absolutely. Good context clues. I mean, I kind of gave you the answer with he's a beloved son and perfect example. But what else? Any other thoughts? Something fresh. Why would Jesus, perfect Jesus, get baptized? Now, to be obedient, set an example for sure. Showing what was to come. And do you have a little more on that? Like, what does that mean exactly?
It's kind of an example of his life and what he
did for us. Amen. Let's check it out with baptism, right? That's good, Jamie. Thank you. Going under the water. Romans 6 says, symbolic of death. Coming out of the water. That's life. The death and resurrection of Jesus. And he's giving a shout out to what that's going to be like. Yeah, Brandon. Was that your baby? No, don't leave. That's rad. He sounds like he might be pushing one out, actually. This is life. For all of you who are guests, it was good to meet you. You're probably gone. So, Brandon, so you're saying it's identity. He's identifying. And that's what baptism would be, right? Is identification. So I talked about it a little bit last week. If somebody was becoming a proselyte, that means somebody who wasn't a Jew is becoming Jewish. They would, if they hadn't been circumcised and that was possible for them as male, they'd need to be circumcised. They would need to dedicate themselves to the Torah, right? And they would need to be baptized. They would identify themselves. And so this is identity. Jesus is identifying as one of us. And yet he wasn't one of us. He was totally different. He was both. Yeah, Linda. Woo! He shouts out, right? Like, this is my beloved son. There was a bunch of others that came before that I loved. There were my sons, but he says something at the end there about Jesus that is totally different than the rest of the people. What was it? In whom I'm well pleased. Here go the perfect one right here. That's him. Amy, did you have your hand up? He was fulfilling prophecy. Absolutely. I'm going to look at that really quick in the book of Matthew. For any of you that are worried, that's water, not caffeine. I'll be all right. Okay. We're going to go back to Matthew 3, 14 through 15. This is a parallel passage of Jesus being baptized. And John was also like us, like, why in the world would he have to be baptized? And so Matthew 3, 14 through 15. John would have prevented him from being baptized, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, fulfill prophecy, and to do what's right. And then he consented. All right, I'll do it. Does that remind you of anything else in the Bible where Jesus said, let's do this, and somebody's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Washing Peter's feet. He's like, I can't know. He's like, no, this is right. You don't get it now, but you're going to later. I think that's kind of the idea that you're talking about, right? Okay, let's go back to Luke 3, 23 through 28. Let's see how many names Aaron can mispronounce. So Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Methat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Jenai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Mattathias, the son of Simeon, the son of Josek, the son of Joda, the son of Jonan, the son of Ressa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Ur, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Methat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Melia, the son of Mena, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David. Whew, finally somebody we know. Except maybe earlier some of you did. The son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salah, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Admin, the son of Arni. What? Yeah. The son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Here Matthew stops the genealogy of Jesus. Luke keeps going. The son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son, Methuselah, all right, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel or something, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. What do all these people have in common? They're sons, okay. Good job. They're all related, excellent. I'm not actually looking for an answer. I'm going to give one, but what do you think? What do these people have in common? They're sons, they're related. They're related to Jesus. They came from Adam. Ancestry.com. Anybody ever seen Finding Your Roots? It's a crazy cool show. We want to get like an idea where we're from. There you go. And you didn't have to pay any money for it at all. But more than that, what do they have in common? They're all sinful. They all need help. They all need Jesus. There's a lot more that we could unpack in that, but I really do want to get to just some really, really powerful stuff for us today. So Jesus also is in that line. He's the Son of God. He's also the Son of Man. The first original Son of God, Adam, wasn't perfect. He was made perfect, but he fell. Every single one of them. This perfect Jesus came, and he identified with us. He wanted us to know that he is good. He wanted us to know that he loves us. He wanted us to know that there's hope and there's help, and it doesn't come from us. We can't talk ourselves out of sin, and we can't talk ourselves out of the punishment, and we can't just say, look, my bad. And when we talk about repentance, isn't my bad. It's acknowledgement, like, I can't do this on my own. I need help. And so, Jesus is the perfect example. Remember the WWE? Do you guys remember the rest of that? Yeah. So what about WDJD? What did Jesus do? Isn't that the best question? What did Jesus do? Well, let me give you some answers really quick. He modeled prayer for us. He was an example of the love of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. He also was the Word of God, but he also showed how he loved the Word of God. We're going to look at where Jesus was tempted. He comes up out of the water, filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit into temptation. God isn't afraid of temptation. We are. And we ought to, like, avoid it, but I don't think if we're like, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, then what are we thinking about? That. What if Jesus, I love you, I want you, I'm filled with you, your word, I'm talking about it, I'm sharing it, I want people to know, and they can tell people, and they can tell people. Do you think that might change things for us? Where our focus is at? It doesn't mean we won't be tempted, it means we have a way through. So let's look at this perfect example, this beloved son. Luke 4, 1 through 2. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. Amen. I love that part. I'm not going to lie. Some of this stuff just for me is like, yes, you can't even make this up. But more than that, the 40 days, symbolic of the 40 days that the spies went into the promised land, spied it out, came back and said, oh, it's bumping. It's great. It's wonderful. And there's giants and we'll die. But two of them are like, uh-uh, our God is bigger than that. He's trying to give us something great. Let's go. And they're like, nah, we'd go, but our people will die. Our kids will die. And so God said, for every day that they're in there, you're going to have a year of wandering until this generation who didn't want what I had for them dies, and the kids they were worried about go in. So much to unpack with that. I'll let you. You can discuss it with your family and your friends. But what I really want to be able to focus on today is that Jesus, being a human, was tempted. Jesus, being God the Son, could have changed all of that. But instead, as an example, he relied on the Father. As an example for us, to show us how to be obedient, to know that what's coming at us isn't greater than he who's in us. And so, want to tell you, there's a warning for us in this. The enemy, the devil, fallen angel, he was prized of all creation and he thought he could be God. He got booted out of heaven. And as it turns out, he got sent here. And for many of us, we're like, dang it, that seems like bad planning. God knows what he's doing and he's greater than anything that can come our way. But we do have an enemy. And so 1 Peter 5:8 says it like this. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. See, those go together. Like, be sober-minded. Know who you are and who you're not. Know whose you are. And watch. It's going to happen. After this high point in Jesus' life, he comes up out of the water, filled by the Holy Spirit, led into temptation. And the enemy was there. Check out Elijah up on a mountaintop experience. It's so amazing what happens for him. Check it out in 1 Kings. He comes down from the mountain where he defeated all of these nasty, lying priests, demonized priests. They're all defeated by the power of God. He comes down, gets threatened by a queen, and he's like, I want to die. He just runs away. So God's the same God, and Jesus is here on the mountaintop and in the valley. Let me say it again, and not just for the people in the back, but for all of us to hear it, okay? Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Up on the mountain when things are bumping, and down in the valley when you're like, this is dark. Hey, maybe this is the shadow of death that I heard about. Where's God at now? Same God, still there. Always. Always. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And he's not like, oh, man, 40 days? You've been struggling for a month plus? Well, I'm going to leave you alone till you get a little stronger, okay? Take care. No! He attacks us. He's looking for people. We like to get isolated. Crazy as that seems, because we're all connected in some way. Some of you are like, no, man, I live out here to get off the grid. How's that working out for you? Kind of off the grid. Is that like being kind of pregnant? Okay. He wants us. The enemy does not want us because he wants to console us, comfort us, or encourage us. He wants to take us out. And if he can't take us out, like separate us entirely from God, he wants us to think that we are. He wants us to struggle. He wants us to be busy. He wants us to let somebody else do it. And so watch how he goes after Jesus, the Son of God. You're about to hear him say, if you're the Son of God. I don't think he doubted he was the Son of God. I think it's more like saying, since you're the Son of God, why don't you do this, this, and that? Take it in your own hands. Don't set an example. They don't need it. You're God in the flesh. Be you, bro. And when I say bro, I'm not saying they're spirit brothers or anything like that, because I don't think they are. I should probably make that clear. So let's go to Luke 4, 3 through 4. First temptation. So remember, he hadn't ate for 40 days, and so what happened? He was hungry, just like some of you are right now. Some of you, though, showed up thinking we were starting at 9, and we were able to go to breakfast. You're welcome. Okay. It's all about me. All right, here we go. Luke 4, 3 through 4. The devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You know that in Matthew says, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And he's just flat out saying, look, trust that God loves you. I trust that God loves me. And Jesus is showing that to him very, very clearly. Please understand, he could have said a ton of things. He could have said, like Adam and Eve did, maybe God's holding out on me. I mean, I'm his beloved, and there's nothing else that looks like us around here, but he's limiting us, and he doesn't want us to have that, so he must be holding out. There must be something better. They'd never had a problem with God, or did they? This is conjecture, so I'm not trying to tell you it's in the Bible. All I know is that everything was right. It was perfect. All they had to do was pick food, hang out with each other, and with God. Super rad. Portlandia has nothing on that. Nothing. This was so good. This was exactly how it was supposed to be. And yet, we want more. Jesus is supposed to be this perfect example. So look, man, you're hungry. If you're the Son of God, make yourself some food. Get a sandwich or something. He's like, look, man doesn't live by bread alone. I know you need bread to live, God says. Matthew 5 talks all about it. But hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's when you're going to be filled. Anybody eat and then later they're hungry? Me too. And it's not just because I'm pleasantly plump. You know why? It's because I'm human. You are too. Jesus was. And he said, let's put it in proper perspective. Trust that God loves you. That he's providing for you. He knows what you need before you ask him. Let's move on. So swing and a miss. If you're a baseball fan, you know you get three strikes. The enemy struck out the first, or one strike right here. Go to Luke 4, 5 through 8 now. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said to him, to you, I will give all this authority and their glory. Listen close, church, for it has been delivered to me. Who delivered it to him? That just seems like, what? God would give him authority? I'm with some of you that understand that this doesn't seem right. Like, how could God do that? Well, God's God. Has he ever done anything or allowed anything to happen that you don't get? I'm the only one, right? Nobody else struggles with that. Nobody else goes, I mean, we want to say, look, hey, you're a pastor. You should set an example. Amen, I should. Here's my example. I desperately need Jesus. I don't always get what he's doing, but I trust that he's God and that he loves me enough to keep coming back to that. That's sometimes where I have to repent. I have to remember, man, he loves us. He's not trying to squash us. Why would he send Jesus? If we're okay, we just have to dig in, put your big girl pants on, go get it. Cowgirl up. Cowboy up. Go do your thing. If that's all it would take for salvation, then why Jesus? Because we desperately need him. We're not God. And we don't get it. He sends this enemy down and gives him the authorities, the God of the age, the word says. It was delivered to him and it will be taken from him. Remember Revelation? Remember Jesus rising from the dead before Revelation was written? Oh, this is so good, church. Listen, he says, I will give all of this authority and their glory because it's been delivered to me, and I'll give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. If you don't know who you are, more importantly, you don't know whose you are, and this happens, you're like, it's a pretty good deal. All I have to do is worship one, and I get the adoration of the world. But Jesus simply says, it is written, the word of God, he keeps modeling for us, and he's going to Deuteronomy, by the way. Jesus answered him, it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. What? Serve? Where does that come from? That's not what he said. He just said worship. Now check it out, like Warren Wiersbe says, and I have the quote for you. Whatever we worship, we will serve. Whatever we worship, we're going to serve. And so God is saying, worship me and me alone, and that's who you'll serve. I want God. Over and over again, I keep coming back. Do I want Kathy to think I'm great? Yeah, I do. But she knows me better than anybody else on this planet. And there's going to be days when I let her down. There's going to be days when I let down my children. I love them deeply. But there's one that knows everything about me. And I work hard not to worship Kathy or my children or even the position that God has allowed me to have to lead others. You know what he's called me to do? Be a lead servant. To set an example in serving Jesus. And so I get to worship him, and so do you. What are you worshiping? Comfort zone. What are you worshiping? People. I'm not saying all of you do, and I'm saying that some of you knew last week you needed to repent of something. So I ask you today, how'd your week go? Did you repent? Oh, that was for everybody else, bro. I'm good. Sweet. But what did Jesus do? He said, look, worship God only. I want to read for you back in 1 Peter. So we're at 1 Peter 5:8. You remember who that's talking about? Who was it? Yeah, the devil. What does he do? Yeah, he roams around. He's looking for somebody to pick off. You know that very rarely, unless a lion is desperately starving, they won't attack a herd. They attack the sick, the weak, the young that are kind of left behind. Check this out in 1 Peter 5:10. We're told to resist the devil. Everybody else is struggling, but 5:10 says, and after you have suffered a little while, has your story got suffering in it? Mine too. After you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever, it says in verse 11. Amen. Look, in our world, we are very quick to go for the glory, but it ends in suffering. But in Jesus, we suffer, but it ends in glory. Would that not be a great change to your life that you wouldn't look for the ease and the comfort and the easy way out? Look, all you got to do is worship the devil. All you got to do, and so for us, we're like, oh, that's gross. No, he was just saying, give your allegiance to me. There was no, like, letting of blood and all the nastiness that we see and just glorified on TV and all these horror flicks. If we saw that coming, we'd be like, no way. That's gross. But what about worshiping the things of this world? And we'll serve it. What about worshiping the people of this world and we'll serve them? I'd love to tell somebody about Jesus, but I don't want to offend them. You don't have to be offensive with it, but you tell people about Jesus. That's an offer of love and light. But many of us are like, I can't tell people about Jesus. I can't share the good news because I'm not totally sure I believe it. My marriage, my friends, my job, my health, they're falling apart or have. And so everything's super good right now, so I'm going to keep it all my poop in a group, and I'm just going to, you stay away. So we don't ever want suffering to be a part of the story, but shocker, it is. But we can end with glory and not just heaven someday. You can go through a trial and a tribulation and it ends on this high note. You see Jesus more. Can anybody put their hand up and say, I've been through a ton. I've been through pain and agony. And at the end of it, I saw Jesus more clearly than ever. I want him more than I ever have. And I actually love to tell people about him. Is there anybody? I mean, look around. Seriously, please keep your hand up. Mine's up. I'll do this. I'd put four up, but I'd be on the floor. Seriously, he is so good. Don't keep that to yourself. We're reading about Jesus because somebody decided to tell somebody who decided to tell somebody, and there's making of disciples. This is good for us, and it can be really hard. So start with suffering and end with glory. What an example from Jesus. Let's look at the rest here. Luke 4, 9 through 12. So Jesus had answered him, worship the Lord your God only and serve him. And so the devil took him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, uh-oh, the devil knows the Bible, friends, better than we do. And he's abusing it and even misquoting it. But he says, look, throw yourself down from here if you're the Son of God. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. If we're trusting that God loves us, we're praying, we're recognizing God, we're worshiping God, we're allowing ourselves to suffer a bit for the glory of God and that we would see him more clearly through all of that, then you hear this kind of attack, you get this kind of temptation to just trust God. Man, put him to the test. He's good. There's one time God says, put me to the test. You remember what it is? In tithing, in giving. Whoo, there we go again. We're going to talk about money. Only in this way, you can trust God with all of it. All of it. Church, trust the word of God. Don't abuse it. Look how Jesus responds to the devil. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. I know we talk about mic drops and all that kind of stuff, but Jesus just stone-faced says, no, this is what's said. Don't abuse the word. Follow it. I'm not out here trying to play games with God. I know who I am, he told the devil, and effectively telling all of us as this perfect example and this beloved son, know who you are. Know who he is. Remember who's God and who is not. If today's a day where you've been struggling with that and you came to church and whatever it all worked out and you understand that you are the church, then I ask you right now to humble yourself. Submit yourself to God and his authority. Look, I'm not trying to come out here and be all dramatic. I'm trying to get as many of you eye to eye and say, Jesus is it. Jesus is it. There is no God apart from him. There's no good apart from him. You can get something going for a little bit, but it's going to flop. It's going to end in suffering. You might start in glory. Did you see how many likes I got? Oh, man. Trust the word of God. Don't put God to the test. Well, what would it mean to put God to the test? God, if you love me, you will do this. If you're bringing the word of God to God and saying, look, you said that I don't lift my eyes up to the hills, but I lift them up to you, and so I want your help. Come through for me. Then trust that he's going to. But I still am sick. I still don't have a job. My car still sucks. I'm not here to tell you that Psalm 37:4 is about your wish list. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You want a V-dub bug that's purple? Just trust God. Speak it into existence. What? If you delight yourself in the Lord, then he is actually, wait for it, because it's super cool. He's the desire of your heart. He's going to give you more of him. Oh, and I already got him. I want that Vita bug. Fight it. Fight it. Fix your eyes on Jesus. It's not for nothing that he's the author and the finisher of your faith. Friends, he knows the beginning and the end, and everything's going to happen in the middle. Fix your eyes on him. Worship him. Serve him. So check this out. Luke 4:13. And when the devil had ended every temptation and struck out, 1, 2, 3, you're out. He departed from him until an opportune time. We are going to continue to be tempted and challenged. God is not the one that tempts us, but he does lead us to that point. Because temptation is not like, oh, I have to do it. I mean, did you see the donuts? I didn't bring a donut. Don't just show it up. Must have been provision. I'm gonna have to give in. I wasn't out looking for girls. They found me. My friend's dad said it like this. Look, if a girl comes on to you and keeps pushing you and tempting you, it's got to be from the devil because you're not that good looking. Wow. And yeah. More than that. And I do. Sometimes I crack jokes as a way to kind of deal with things. But what I'm trying to tell you is temptation is an opportunity to trust God. Not just to give in. Do what you do and then, well, he said he would forgive me. Indeed. Are you putting him to the test? Are you getting into this continual cycle of doing your thing and then asking God for forgiveness? Doing your thing, asking God for forgiveness. Well, I mean, nobody's perfect, right? And we need to keep coming back. Yeah, but where comes a point where you're like, this is just getting tiresome. I'm just going to do my thing. God probably doesn't even like me anyways. All the things I've done, gosh, I'd leave me too. That's just not who God is. He's faithful. He's faithful to complete the work that he begins in us. So look, the devil will come back, it says, at an opportune time against Jesus, and he does against us too. But I want to share something with you from the book of James. Jesus' half-brother, because they didn't have the same dad. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. These both count at the same time. Submit to God, first things first. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. But the other thing that Jesus said is true, and that God's word says in Luke, he's going to come back around. But you see him coming. The more you're aware, the more you're alert, the more you fix your eyes on Jesus, you see these lies coming. You see him coming a mile away. Look, I had an amazing time in New Jersey, and I'm going to tell you more about that. By the way, just really quick, Tuesday, the weather there, 65 degrees. Something weird happened. We got their weather. It's like wrong coast, man. But you're going to hear more about it. But what I want to tell you is that they kept reminding us of this thing, and it's called a micro church summit, where we're learning more and more why Jesus commissioned us to make disciples and why we struggle to actually do it. And so you're going to hear more and more teaching on that. Pretty soon when we get into Luke 5, I'm going to give you an invitation. I'm going to give you an invitation to be fisher of mankind, that you would follow Jesus and his commission to tell the good news and to reach people. Over and over again, you're going to hear that from me. We're going to have more opportunities to do that, and we'll unpack that as it comes. But I'm changing. Something super rad is happening inside of me. I'm remembering my first love. I'm repenting more and more of just going with the flow of how things go. Try to keep the church going, and we got a show on Sunday. Come on to the show. I love it. Come here, be fed. But this is not the only time you eat. 2 weeks ago, I said, if you eat once a week, it's called an eating disorder. If you're eating once a week, spiritually, it's an eating disorder at the spiritual level. And I don't think anybody's just doing that. But some of you, you just kind of wait for this. This is cool. This is like more of a rally and like, get up, stand up, right? Go from here and live it out. I'm going to continue to call you to this, and I have. I'm not so brand new with this. But I want you to do something with me. I want you to stand up, if you're willing, to follow Jesus, the perfect example, and the beloved son. Will you? Will you stand with me even right now? Your kids are warming up the downstairs. I'm going to let you go get them. But I want to read with you and share with you something we're going to read in a couple of months. And it's in Luke 9. It's Luke 9:23. Lord Jesus, have your way and fill us up to overflowing for your great kingdom. Holy Spirit, come and convict us. Come and comfort us where we need it. Convict us. Counsel us and lead us to be your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. The invitation is literally written in his blood for us to die to ourselves and to follow him daily. Repent daily, worship daily, get in his word daily, follow this example of Jesus daily. So what does that look like for you? Can you get your phone back out again real quick? Like, gosh, man, I feel busted. I already had it in my hand. Good. Good job. Will you start with finding somebody that you haven't talked to in a while? Type in her or his name and text them these simple words. Jesus loves you. Want to talk about it? Let's get together. Go and tell people what you've learned, whether it's today or, man, Aaron, you're all over the map. You're like a bunny on speed. I don't get it. But I've been spending some time in Ezekiel, and that's just popping off the page. Excellent. Talk to somebody about it. Share the good news. Share what Jesus is saying. Share what Jesus is doing. I am still needing to type everything that I told you because I'm 48 and I feel like I'm 98. I don't know how to talk and text. I probably should have spoke into it. So, the person I just sent this to is me like, I know, bro. But it's been a while. I'm going to take up my cross, and in my best Paul impersonation, I want to ask you to follow me as I follow Jesus. You catch me snoozing on following Jesus, get after me. You can do it lovingly. That would be cool. But I'll take it. I'll take whatever you have to bring at me. And whether you're inviting me to or not, I'm going to do my best to do the same with you. So I'd asked you earlier with your phone to find somebody and get their number so you guys can remind each other, hey, church is this, or hey, men's breakfast is this, hey, women's retreat is this, hey, the youth are looking for people to help, this, that you guys would connect with each other. Maybe somebody new. It's 11:26. Some of you showed up thinking we still had a service at 10:45, and you showed up at around 11. Good job. Me too, if I wasn't already here. But you're here. So if you have time, this place is open. Walk away from the edge of the building. I don't want anybody catching like an icicle in the eye. I don't care about insurance. I care about your life. Well, then why did you have church? Because we are the church. You guys could have stayed at home, and some of you did. You're going to be hearing this on the podcast, but you're here today. So encourage each other. Take time and pray with each other. Go get your kids. Let them run around. Just not outside. I don't want anybody to go down. That's just bad. But here, it's okay. Jesus, what a glorious mess I am. I feel like I had to get everything out. I feel like I'm just brand new in preaching. And you know what? I pretty much am. God, I felt like I had to dump the whole truck, and yet I didn't even come close. But you're speaking to every man, woman, and child all over the world. I pray for eyes to see you and ears to hear you. Holy Spirit, that you would come in and lead us even if it would be into temptation, you're leading us to be more than conquerors, to overcome and to live that life for real. And God, it's such a great example when people can look at us and say, man, you've been through so much, and yet look, you love Jesus and you follow him. There must be something to this. And God, I thank you that you've never left us nor forsaken us. And yet for many of us, we're just wondering where you are. God, would we stop doing our thing our way? Would we repent, come to you, watch you lead us, watch the enemy have to flee for a time, we'll get strong and courageous and go and live it out? And God, for those who know, would they tell those who don't? Would they not just invite them to church to hear some person talk? May they be the church, and may they talk to them, and may they encourage them and read your word. God, thanks for all of the kids downstairs and the people who got way more than what they were bargaining for by saying, yeah, I'll help. And so may they be blessed today. I thank you for those men and women who are serving. God, we love you, and we need you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.